Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello, and this welcome to the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, and I'm joined by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, opening night of high school football season for the state of Indiana. Are you fired up, or are you waiting for basketball season?
Hey, I'm fired up. Anytime the kids, the high schools, the colleges, the pro ranks, whatever's going, starts the beginning of their season. And we got football Friday. Joe, it's been a while since we've been able to sit back and talk about Football Friday. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited. I'm excited for the new coaches in the area. I'm excited for the players who are getting their first chance to play varsity. I'm excited and dreadful for the parents who will go out and have to sit through either great or poor performances. Administrators who don't want to be at those games, making sure the kids and the fans, student body act the way they're supposed to. All kinds of things go into the Football Fridays, and we've got a great show for Football Friday, Joe.
Yes, we do. We've got Walt Ferber that's going to come on and talk about Jasper Wildcats and the Big Eight, and we've got Kurt Dukesel going to come in and give us a Southridge Heritage Hills preview, and along with the PAC, we've got Chris Goodman coming in to give us the Evansville perspective. We've got Bill Somm coming on to give us the Annapolis perspective. We got it all, you know. If you want to know about football, this is the place to be. Stay tuned. Even Coach K is going to give his football knowledge to us.
Yeah, I got your little info wired to me about we're going to be picking Purdue and IU schedule today. And you know, folks, before we ever do that, and no matter what comes out of that first-time run-through, remember, this is before any games have been played and any really meaningful end of the practice period happens. We are close to the college kickoff, but I'm sure some of the things we pick this week, if we picked a month from now or 3 weeks from now, we'd probably look at each team differently. Joe, one thing that I want to touch base on as well, when Bill Somm comes on, not only will he be talking about some of the teams that have moved up because of the success rule, talk about some of the top players in the Indianapolis area, some of the top teams, but we'll also talk with Bill. For those who are first-time listeners or may have forgotten, Bill worked with the NCAA as a compliance and eligibility director for years. He was one of the key people at the NCAA. At one time, he was even called the czar when it came to compliance as far as gambling and things like that. So we'll talk to him also a little bit about the Johnny Manziel situation and maybe how inside the NCAA, although it's a little bit different now, he's not there anymore and they've got new leadership, but maybe how the NCAA has to look at it or what their thoughts might be. So we're excited to have Bill back to join us for our second season.
And, you know, a couple things also that's went on. Last night, the Jasper Babe Ruth All-Stars finally were knocked out of the Babe Ruth World Series, you know, but top six in the nation. You know, you can't sneeze at that. They got beat 12-5 by, I think it's Tualatin Hills, Oregon, but, you know, Coach Egbert and Coach Kleinhelter and all those kids, they have nothing to be ashamed of. They've represented Jasper greatly, and I know that the whole city of Jasper is very, very proud of what they've been able to accomplish.
Yeah, and you can't forget or let it, what a wonderful experience for these young boys slowly becoming young men. What a great experience to draw on in the future. In competitive situations, what a great story in their life that they can share as they grow and become parents someday, or help with youth baseball or youth sports. I think it's just a win-win all the way around, regardless of whether they ended up sixth or whether they ended up first. The whole experience, and you had something very similar, I believe, Joe, when you were in Little League, it's just a positive building block to being successful later on.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and it's lifelong friends, you know. I mean, you know, there's guys you don't see that you spent, you know, we went to Beardstown, Illinois, and then because of so much rain, we went straight to Davenport, Iowa for another tournament, and we spent close to three weeks away from home. At first it was fun, but then everyone started getting sick, but that's the kind of experience that you never forget. And, you know, I'm 50 years old, was 14 at that time, and, you know, still remember so many things and get to share so many, you know, moments still when you see guys. You see Mike Beck, I don't see very often, or Bo Lamastis, you know, and it's just an instant connection there. And it's a neat experience, and I'm sure these kids are going to have the same kind of experience as they grow up. And, you know, it's all about life lessons, and you know, that's a great thing as well that they've been able to experience. I know they've missed some school, but, boy, what an experience, you know.
Well, we never want to miss school, because school, as I tell my kids, school is cool. But if you're going to miss for something, this is certainly something you should miss for. Speaking of other high school seasons opening up, Joe, congratulations. Well, I guess it's like kissing your sister, but it's not a loss. Jasper Soccer, under the direction of Kyle Kendall, guy with a lot of enthusiasm, does a great job. Jasper Soccer team took on 14th-ranked Memorial, perennial power in the state of Indiana, a number of state championships for Coach Feith and the Tigers, and they ended up in a tie 1-1. I think that's a positive. I think that's as close to a win as you can get from a mental standpoint as a coach, to talk to your team about, hey, we took on the 14th-ranked team in the state, a program that has perennial success, continuous, and we ended up in a 1-1 tie early in the season. We're in the right direction.
Well, you know, I didn't know that that's what was going on back there last night. I got back from the Jasper volleyball game, had to drop cars off, and all I know is it was loud. Coming back from the soccer field from the high school parking lot. And I guess I know why. That's quite an accomplishment for the Jasper soccer team. I'm sure they'd like a win. But, you know, anytime you can do – I don't know if tying Memorial with the tradition that they have, I don't know if you can call that kissing your sister, can you?
Well, I'll just say it's not a loss. And you can't say it's a win, but I do believe that as a coach, from a coach's standpoint, you walk out of there and you think about what ifs, but you really come out of there and say, we're mentally tough enough to play with one of the best programs and teams in the state. This is a great building block. This is a great buy-in situation time for me to sell these kids on the things we're doing and what we want to continue to do, and it's an emotional lift for the players as well. The key, though, Joe, the key, and any coach will tell you this, is – you're not satisfied with something like this. This shouldn't make you content. This should springboard you into the rest of the season in what you want to do, what you're capable of doing. And I think when you open up with a tough team like Memorial early in your schedule, early in your season, it gives you an idea of where you're at and where potentially you can go. And I think Coach Kendall's got to feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, he really does. That's a great accomplishment. Didn't know what happened, and I want to congratulations to Coach Kendall. And I guess we should be looking for big things from that soccer program. And you know, I'm sure Memorial will keep being Memorial as well in soccer. So,
hey, before we go to break, Joe, just a quick comment or two. Your Yankees, A-Rod. We had the little beanball incident this week between. Was it Dempster from the Red Sox beaning A-Rod? I don't know. They say it was intentional. Everybody says it was intentional. The reasons behind it, one can guess. Some people said because he squealed on people. I don't know anything about that. I think if I was going to hit A-Rod with a ball, it was because he has continued to dirty the reputation of baseball and players everywhere. That's why I would bean him. And then the second reason would be because the Yankees haven't done what they should be doing ethically, in my opinion. In my opinion, listeners, sitting his butt on the bench because he was suspended. And I know we've got the appeal. I've heard all the ESPN crap. But let me tell you something. Due process means immediate. Get the appeal done. Get the arbitration. I talked about it last week. This is way too long. You're letting somebody who shouldn't be playing play. Just your thoughts on the beaning.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't like anybody getting hit by a baseball. But at the same time, and I am a Yankee fan, but I just don't know about him playing. I guess it always goes back to Pete Rose with me, he'll never be in the Hall of Fame. Well, which I'm sure A-Rod won't be either. But how is A-Rod still playing? I'm a Yankee fan. I want the Yankees to win, but it kind of tarnishes every win that they have right now because I just don't think that he should be playing. And players who are clean, maybe he's doing it because the pitcher did it. Dempster did it because of that. I mean, it just dirties the Major League Baseball, and God forbid, here I am sticking up for a non-Yankee, but I can't agree with him continuing to play. I know that this is America, a due process, whatever, but I just really think that he should not be playing right now. But hey, also we got a text from Kurt Guxel. He was talking about the kissing the sister, and he said, as Lou Holtz said, kissing your sister is better than kissing your brother.
I would have to agree with Kurt, and always with Coach Holtz, who I love. And if you haven't listened to some of the great speeches by Coach Holtz, you should. Just coming across that Ryan Braun, our other PED user, is now admitting and apologizing for PED use in 2011. He's a guy that took us on the I didn't do it, I'm clean, I didn't do it, everybody's a liar run, and now he's coming out publicly. As he was reported that he was going to do, he has now come out today and apologized for his use of steroids or performance-enhancing drugs, which he denied over and over and over again. And before we go to break, Joe, and come back with Walt Ferber, let me just add this. For those of you who are out there saying, hey, Coach K, I know you're a faithful guy and a forgiving guy. You're not going to forgive A-Rod on this? This has nothing to do with forgiveness. A-Rod continued to break the rules and lie about it. A-Rod has to serve the penalty for that. Once he serves the penalty, he can come back and hit 100 home runs, 200 home runs. I'm fine with that. But I think that he has been given a pretty just sentence, in my opinion. Whether it's 50 games less or 50 games more doesn't make a difference to me. But he should not be allowed to play for at least a season. And the sad thing is, here he is. He gets a chance to finish out this season. And, sometimes you need to pay a little bit for what you do and learn from it. And sometimes other people get hurt by it. But it is sports. I understand that. But there's just a lot of people involved in. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to have the wonderful Hall of Famer, Walt Ferber, to talk to us about Jasper Wildcat football. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion, and Jasper. We've all heard the commercial, 15 minutes could save you 15. Folks, let me tell you, it won't take 15 minutes for us to save you money. Give Ubelar's a call at 1-800-937-USA1 or visit us online at ubelar.com. We'll tell you the facts, treat you right, no bait and switch, and best of all, we will save you money. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion, and Jasper, where customers send their friends for a lifetime of savings in 15 minutes or less since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
I'm an assistant greenskeeper. They say that doesn't mean anything, you know, until I'm the head greenskeeper.
Can you give me a ruling on this?
Oh, sit down. Come on.
No, I don't want to stick to anything in here.
Well, here, take this thing off. This is dirty.
Don't go to too much trouble.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and we're joined by WITZ play-by-play man for the Jasper Wildcats, Walt Ferber. Walt, before Coach K breaks in here and gives the and it starts breaking down Jasper football, I wanted to let people know, big news to all those out-of-town Jasper football fans, and I've gotten quite a few responses from people, you know, asking what time Portcasters was and all that stuff, and people are going to be able to, all over the world, are going to be able to listen to Walt Ferber and Terry Gobert tonight on the Jasper Memorial Game, right?
Yeah, that's right. We're up and streaming on the World Wide Web, and we wanted to make sure that we did it correctly and have been up and going for about a month now. The number's getting better every day, so certainly looking forward to that, and thanks for the kind words.
I find it interesting that Joe offers any kind words, but it is good to have you back, Walt, and it's never too soon to get a talk to Walt Ferber, but it never gets any better than talking to Walt Ferber, and this time we're talking to the Hall of Famer about Jasper Wildcat football. Walt, when you look at the new football season, can you believe the number of years you've been doing this?
Now, actually, this is my 41st year of play-by-play. So, and it keeps getting better all along. Enjoy it, and feel the Lord has blessed me greatly in allowing me to do what I love to do. So, looking forward to hopping into another year here.
Well, you know what's great about 41 years and doing most of this with the Jasper kids and everything, you get the same last names from families over and over and over again. And they're easier to pronounce every year.
Well, I tell you what, now everybody else's names seem a little bit unusual. I remember coming to Jasper to WITZ in 1980, and the names were, you know, let's just say it took a while to get them in hand. And now everybody else is a little bit odd, so that's good.
Well, we have another, what I think will be a solid regular season for Coach Aarons and his Wildcat football team. There's very few football programs in the state of Indiana with the kind of tradition that Jasper football has had from the early days of Jerry Brewer to the end of his career, and now through Coach Aarons, you know, going into 11 years of coaching as the head coach of Jasper football. This team on paper looks to be sizing up as another solid Wildcat football team.
Now, you know it is, and football consistency is extraordinarily important. You had that with Jerry Brewer all those years, and now Tony Aarons coming into his 11th year after being on Coach Brewer's staff. I got a chance to be out at practice yesterday, and I tell you, I don't see any holes in this team. You have basically 8 starters back on defense from a team that only allowed a little over 12 points a game last year. So they're looking to find some linebackers. They lose Gobert and Huffman and Traylor off that defensive side of the ball, but they've got some linebackers that are coming in, and you've got I call them a law firm, Betts in the backfield, defensive backfield, and you've got an excellent front four defensively. Moises Valenciano will be working the nose again this year. You've got Spencer Otto and Austin Ollis on the defensive line. That is going to be a very solid defense from Nick Eckert again this year. Then you flip over to the offensive side of the football, and Nolan Aarons in his second year starting at quarterback is, you know, he looks solid and his arm's even stronger than it was last year. His favorite target last year, Austin Ollis, who's back as a junior, he's making just some outstanding catches. And the thing that surprised me seeing Austin in the fall is he was a pretty good-sized young man in basketball and baseball last year. He's gotten a little bigger, and I think that the fact that's scary is he's stronger and quicker, and he's going to be doing some things matchup-wise that are going to be difficult for a lot of defensive coordinators. You've got from the running back, you've got Nick Hale, who was injured last year. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. Ian Songer will be the fullback. And you look at this, and if I'm an opposing coach looking at these guys, it's going to be just a little bit scary. No holes. They've got some depth. And it should, as you said, Ken, be another great year for the Wildcat football team.
You know, Walt, as you look at this team and you've gone through the personnel and it just looks like a solid group, but you always want to start with your leaders on the field. Mm-hmm. And you got the quarterback position, you got the defensive side of the ball. Talk a little bit about Nolan Aarons as he comes into this season maturing, and what do you see in him specifically that you feel good about as he takes control of that offensive side of the football?
Well, he's the football equivalent of a gym rat in basketball. His father's the coach. His brother was the starting quarterback. And he's been around it his entire life. And you know, it's genetic. He's a smart young man. If you're going to play football and you're going to be a quarterback, you've got to be able to see the field. He sees the field very well. It looks like his arm has gotten stronger. And from what I see, he's a quiet leader, and that's the best kind. He leads by example out there on the field, and you're going to be hard-pressed to find a better quarterback in Southern Indiana than Nolan Aarons. But and I honestly think at his size, he's getting a little bit bigger. Now he's 6'1", 165. Great arm. He's mobile. You know, this is a guy that could be playing on Saturday afternoon when his career's done.
Then you've got tight end Austin Ollis, excuse me. Austin, a lot of people look at him and they see this big, strong, athletic body. And I'm 6'3", 225, 230, and very athletic.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have some very high hopes for Austin as far as what he can give to this football team.
Oh, my heavens, yes. He's a tight end with a wide receiver speed, a tight end size and strength. At the high school level, he's absolutely a matchup nightmare. As a sophomore, he was already Nolan Aaron's favorite target. So yes, his upside is extremely high. The young man works hard, and he was catching some footballs yesterday that just kind of made your mouth hit the ground. I mean, he was just that good. And in practice, he's one of those guys that catches your attention. He's got the ability. He's got a great God-given ability, and he's worked at it on top of things. So, this is the kind of guy that by the time he graduates is going to have a whole lot of hardware. And he's one of those guys that's just fun to watch. He's a guy that you would pay the $5 for the IHSAA just to see Ollis play tight end. And he also plays on the other side of the ball. We talk about his ability at tight end. But he's also at defensive end for the Wildcats. So he does a great job on both sides of the ball.
And then Jasper's always – and you got to have this to have a great program. I mean, you just do to have really good teams. you got to have guys like the Spencer Ottos. They're mm-hmm. they're workhorses. They're guys that you can trust and know that they're going to come through for you. Good or bad, they're going to keep working hard until they get it done and get it done right. And Jasper has Spencer Otto and a number of guys like him that help that football team and any team they're on find a way to get over the top.
If you're going to be successful as a football team, pardon me, you have to, I mean, obviously you need to have skilled athletes, but you're not going to be successful unless you got a number of young men with a lunch pail mentality, and they're my favorite guys. They're the ones that hit the weight room religiously, work their tail off in the off season, and a lot of times, unless you really know the game of football, you don't see a lot of them statistically or, you know, hear about them on radio or TV or in the newspaper. But Otto is like that. You've got an offensive line that's like that, too. You've got a fella, a tackle, 6'2", 280, Colton Boland this year that I think is going to fit in that person very, very well. Got a couple of seniors on the offensive line. Neil Rose. Rose started a good bit last year. And also Craig Sander. Ryan Holt, the center. These are guys that work very hard. You talk to Tony Ahrens and any football person, you need – if you're going to win the football game, you got to win the battle of the trenches. And we got those guys on both sides of the football that are going to go to war. So, you know, they're just very, very impressive.
You know, Walt, a lot of times when we listen to the ESPNs and the different sports talk shows, they talk and they're talking football. They talk about the takeaways and the givebacks. We call them turnovers, fumbles, whatever, interceptions, whatever it might be. Let's just take a minute and talk about special teams. You know, mm-hmm. in high school, it's a difficulty to have the punter, to have the kicker, place kickers, return men. Sometimes you're just filling people in. It's not always you've got the perfect guy for that role, and you've got to kind of piecemeal that together. But when you get in big game situations, that's where the givebacks and the takeaways happen, or the turnovers, as we call them. Talk a little bit about, if you can, where's Jasper and Coach Ahrens at this point? Do they have those nailed down, or is this something that's still a work in progress?
Oh, I mean, I don't think you're ever there. When it comes to that, you're always trying to hold on to the football better. I don't have the figures in front of me, but we were like 2-1 on turnover ratio last year. We got most of those guys back. So, you know, I really don't see turnovers being a problem. You know, that's one thing you know, if you're a running back, you double cap the football. You respect it. You pull it back in. And it gets to be a war out there, but I foresee us being probably at least 2-1 in turnover ratio by the end of the year. I've got confidence that these guys will do well. You know, you got running backs. You're going to have Nick Hale, I think, starting tonight. Ben Moore is also going to see a great deal of action there. Those are new running backs. But, Ken, one of the things about Jasper playing the way they have the last several years, a lot of the games they've been up, 3 touchdowns plus by halftime, and even the guys that haven't played and started have got significant playing time. These next guys up like that have already had varsity competition, even though they haven't started, and they're used to being hit, and they're used to the speed of the varsity game.
Well, the Wildcats open up tonight against a perennial opponent, Evansville Memorial. Evansville Memorial has a strong tradition as well. It doesn't necessarily compete with Jasper's overall tradition, but they've got a good program. Coach Hurley does a really good job. They're trying to rebound off a couple of mediocre seasons after 2 straight trips to the football finals at Lucas Oil. When you look at the overall schedule of Jasper, I think most of us agree it favors Jasper year in and year out. But 2 or 3 tough teams on that schedule that you look at that'll really test Jasper and let them know who they are.
Well, you know, I'm a little bit about Memorial. I mean, Memorial hasn't beaten Jasper since 2004, but their offense is something Jasper doesn't see very often. And a fellow that could do a lot of damage tonight, you're going to see one of the best running backs in Southern Indiana in Junior McKinley Warren tonight for Evansville Memorial. So, I mean, Jasper will have to be ready, and, you know, they'll have to have him laced up to go at it this evening. You look at the schedule, and Southridge has turned into a great rivalry. Coach Gobert, my color analyst, said the hitting in the game last year with the Raiders was as hard as he saw all year. Raiders have some good skill position people coming back. New head coach Scott Buehning. They should be an excellent excellent opponent for the Wildcats this year. Heritage Hills Patriots, Coach Wilkerson taking over for Coach Clayton. They're still a very well-coached team. They're going to be tough. And Vincennes, you can pretty much throw the records out when those two teams play. Vincennes didn't have quite the record last year, and they played Jasper extraordinarily tough, and Jasper luckily to get out of that game with a win in a defensive battle. And this year, on top of everything else, that game's going to be played September 21st at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. So I would say those three teams right there would maybe be the most formidable on the schedule, but you never know which other team might jump up and be problematic for the Cats.
Well, last thing before we let you go, Walt, and let you get ready for the game tonight and all the other things you got to do throughout this day for WITZ, how can our listeners pick up that stream? What do they need to do to pick up the game, the call of the game live streaming?
The simplest thing to do is to go to our website, which is WITZAMFM.com. You can either go to that or Google it, and it'll take you straight to it. On that page, you'll see a Listen Live bar that's about a half inch wide. It's blue, and it says Listen Live, and you click that, and that'll take you right to our live stream.
Well,
so with me,
I
with
hope
me
as
around
many
10,
people
they have to,
can tune in,
yeah.
Even people just listening to the show that's not connected to Jasper, tune in and listen to some great high school football and a wonderful call by Hall of Famer Walt Ferber. Walt, once again, it's great to have you as a friend and contributor to the Coach K and Joe show. I hope you have a great opening call tonight.
Hey, you too, Ken. Always good talking to you. Always good talking to you, Joe, also.
Okay, we're going to go to break. Once again, thanks to Walt Ferber, the Hall of Famer. We're going to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
A monkey's my fly out of my butt.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe show. And, Coach, don't know if you've got your pen ready to make some predictions or not, but I'm ready. Are you?
You know, Joe, before we get into all this, let me just say this. Why wouldn't you enjoy listening to the Coach K and Joe show? Why wouldn't you go out and get your buddies to listen with you? You guys like Tom Deanhart from the Big Ten Network, Cody Zeller in the past, Don Fisher, the voice of the Hoosiers. Why wouldn't you want to listen to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Yeah, and a lot of people say, how do you get those guests? And I always say, it's a secret. Can't tell you. Can't tell you.
It certainly isn't money, is it, Joe?
No. We're
your good looks?
Nothing.
Your good looks?
That's probably it. Yep.
Personality?
No.
All right, let's do some picking, Joe. Let's do some picking.
Okay, August 29th. IU plays at home against Indiana State, and Purdue plays on the road at Cincinnati.
Well, I can tell you right now, Coach Hazel's going to pick up his first loss of the season. I think he's working hard, and I love some of the commercials they're doing to get people excited for Purdue football, but I think that's a loss. And as far as IU, Indiana State, you know, Indiana State's had some solid football, and I expect them to have some more, but I think the Hoosiers are going to have too much offense on a Thursday night with Coach Wilson for the Indiana State to beat them. So I'm going to pick the Hoosiers in that game, and Cincinnati against Purdue, Cincinnati.
Okay, I'm going with a win. I believe in Coach Hazel, and I'm going with a win against Indiana State, even though last year was kind of dicey. Kind of a dicey game at the end, so.
Oh, I agree, Joe. I don't think Indiana. I'm not saying Indiana's going to go in there and roll over them. I don't know if the defense is far enough along. I've got to believe Indiana State has a solid team again, because this guy has been doing a great job with the Sycamores, with the trees, as Ryan Pearson calls them, and many others. I just think that Indiana's going to get that one.
September 7th, we've got Navy visiting IU, and we've got Indiana State going to Purdue.
Well, this was a crushing loss for Indiana last year. They really had the game in a position to win, and then they lost it and tried to get it at the end. These are the kind of games, these first two games are critical if Indiana's going to make it to a bowl and not to a toilet bowl like Purdue usually makes it to. Ha-ha, tongue-in-cheek. And as far as Purdue and Indiana State, I'm gonna say that Coach will have them ready, and they'll rebound, and they'll get a win against Indiana State. So I'm going to pick Indiana at home and Purdue at home.
Okay, I'm going to pick Indiana at home and Indiana State at home. And this little side note, funny that an IU fan calls any bowl Purdue's ever been to the toilet bowl. September 14th.
Well, but that's how we are.
Rebuttal?
That's how we are.
September 14th, we've got Bowling Green coming to visit Indiana and Notre Dame coming to Ross-Ave Stadium under the lights to play the Boilermakers.
Who's coming to Indiana?
Bowling Green.
Oh, I'll take Indiana. Indiana gets that victory, even though Bowling Green will have a good team, and Notre Dame gets that victory.
Okay, and I'm going to begrudgingly pick a loss by Purdue, and I'm going to pick the Falcons to beat IU. IU's finally going to wake up and play real IU football, and they will lose. September 21st. September 21st. Indiana has yet another home game, which is a common theme this season. They play Missouri.
First five, I believe, are at home.
Yeah, and Purdue travels to Cap Randall Stadium and plays Wisconsin.
And who's coming into Indiana?
Oh, Missouri.
Wow. Yeah, they need to beat Missouri. I don't know much about Missouri this year, but they need to beat Missouri. And, I'm going to stay with the Hoosiers against Missouri. I know that you're probably laughing at me. I don't know. And I have to pick Wisconsin.
I'm laughing inwardly and outwardly. I'm going to pick Missouri to win, and I'm going to, unfortunately, pick the Boilermakers to lose against Wisconsin. September 28th. IU gets to stay at home again, but they don't have a game. And Purdue gets a visit from a team that played in a BCS bowl last year, Northern Illinois University. Your pick.
I'm going to pick Purdue.
Okay, you're a smart man every once in a while. And I'm picking the Boilers as well. Now, October 5th, the Boilermakers have a bye week, and the IU has yet another home game, and the Nittany Lions come calling. What you think about that one?
You know, this is going to be an interesting game, and I'm not going to just pick it by the name of the school coming in. I think Coach O'Brien's done a great job at Penn State, but they lose some key players, and they're having to fill in some gaps and some holes. I got a text message from one of our listeners. He says IU has 8 home games overall, so that bodes well for the Hoosiers. But this is a big game. This is one of those coming-out games, Joe, where Indiana finds out what they can really do in the conference, and Penn State's a team that's of course, is going to have a month or so of games under their belt, but they're having to fill in some gaps. I know that you're going to laugh again, but you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to pick the Hoosiers.
Okay, and God, this is a hard one. Wait a minute. Who am I going to pick? I'm picking Penn State. Okay.
And I will predict right. Purdue not to lose again.
Yeah, they will not lose that week. Mind you, right now, let's go over the totals with partway through the season. Coach K's got IU a very unattainable 5-0, and I have him a more realistic 2-3. And Coach K's got the Boilermakers 2-3, and I have them 3-2. And October 12th, IU's finally going to leave home at Michigan State. The Boilermakers get a visit, first-time visit from the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Okay, let me just say on my first 5-0 pick, to the listeners, those who are criticizing, that's okay, I've been criticized before. Possibly could be 4-1. They could either lose the Missouri game or the Penn State game. But I'm going to take Michigan State. I think Michigan State, Joe, may have one of the best teams they've had in years. They are strong in key positions. They have a solid group of lettermen, and I really think they could have a great year. And then who's Purdue playing again?
Nebraska.
Nebraska? I don't think they beat Nebraska. I'm going to take Nebraska.
Okay, October 19th, IU gets their return trip to the state of Michigan when they take on the Wolverines, and the Boilermakers get to also go to Michigan, the state of Michigan as well, as they take on Michigan State at Michigan State.
I think both these games go to the Michigan home teams. One of the things about Michigan, I think IU will play them pretty decent for a part of the game. They've got to fill some plugs, but I know they have a lot of depth, and I think Brady does a great job. But they do have to fill some key position holes. Now, they have depth supposedly to do that, but we'll see. But I'm going to take Michigan and Michigan State to take out the Indiana teams.
Okay, October 26th, we're both going to be right because neither team has a game that weekend, so there will be no wrong picks. November 2nd, IU gets a visit from the Gophers of Minnesota, and Purdue has Ohio State come visit.
I think it's pretty clear. IU gets a big win over the Gophers, and Ohio State is going to beat Purdue, and I just got a text from Don Schulteis, our contributor from Indy. He said you didn't pick the last games. Did you pick who's going to win? Michigan State?
Oh, okay. I just went ahead and wrote both of them and agreed with you and wrote both of them down as losses so for IU and Purdue. So I guess since we were in agreement, there was no reason to discuss, so...
I'm picking Indiana to beat Minnesota, Gophers, and Ohio State, the Buckeyes. And I got a miniature Buckeye tree in the backyard my family gave me for one of my birthdays. It is packed with Buckeyes this year. And I love Buckeyes, and not Ohio State Buckeyes, but that bodes well for the Buckeyes. So Ohio State will win at Purdue, against Purdue.
And I will agree the Minnesota game, IU will win that one, and Ohio State will win, but not by a lot, because for some reason Purdue always plays Ohio State close. I'm not quite sure how that works some years, but there have been years where they shouldn't play them close, that they somehow find a way to play them close. Now, November 9th, we've got another home game for IU at The Rock, and they play Illinois, and the Hawkeyes of Iowa come visit Ross-Ade Stadium.
I think it's an upset victory for Purdue and a win for Indiana.
Okay, you're picking both of them to win. I am picking
both Indiana schools to win.
I'm going to go with wins as well for both of them. November 16th, we have IU going to Camp Randall Stadium to play the Wisconsin Badgers, and Purdue heading to Happy Valley to play Penn State.
Loss for both Indiana teams.
I am going to agree with both your picks there. Both will lose away from the state of Indiana. We've got November 23rd, we've got IU going to Ohio State, and we've got Purdue playing Illinois.
Ohio State wins solidly, even though IU will score some points. They'll win solidly. And Purdue goes to Illinois, did you say?
Yes.
Wow. I'm going to pick Illinois just because it's on the road.
No, it's at Ross-Ade.
Oh, it's at Ross-Ade. I'm going to give Purdue another win.
I'm just not sold on Illinois. A loss for IU and a win for Purdue. And lastly, we've got the bucket game. Prediction. It's at The Rock.
At The Rock, IU.
Okay, you're going to pick a win. I'm picking a loss for IU because I would never pick them. So that gives, right now, you've got IU at 8-4. I have them at 4-8. I have Purdue at 6-6. You have them at 4-8. So I'm going to hang on to this.
I'm a positive person, Joe. What can I say? I'm a positive person.
Maybe we will, you know, reevaluate the picks after the first four or five games, and we can go from there. But, you know, I thought it'd be fun. It'd be something we can continually do. And, you know, I'm very confident I'll have more bragging rights than you on our picks. So it's something I learned to do.
You know, Joe, we should tell our listeners to go ahead and send in their picks. Go ahead and text in what they think their records are going to be, or go to the CoachCanJoeShow.com website and leave us a message. They can text the show. What's the text number, Joe?
They can text me at 812-630-2449. They can email us at info@CoachKandJoeShow.com. You can go to our Facebook page. On our Facebook page, you can post your wins and loss totals there. Or you can go to the CoachKandJoeShow.com website, and we have a fan forum. And after the show today, I'll set up a thread for you to give your predictions. So
yeah, and if you go to our Facebook page, we'll even have on there our predictions, and ask for you to put yours down. And I think what we ought to do, Joe, is after three games, reevaluate, because it'll give us a chance to see where both teams are, how they've been playing, mm-hmm. how their offense and defense have come along, and then maybe reevaluate our picks after three games. I think going five games in is just too many. I think after three, we have to evaluate and then live with our picks from there.
Yeah, I think that sounds fair. So sounds good.
I think I'm going to be I think that maybe I went one win too many with the Hoosiers. They're probably going to be 7-5, but I just wasn't sure on the Missouri or the Penn State game. I gave the Hoosiers the benefit of the doubt. All right. Next thing you know, you'll be flushing a toilet bowl or something like that. But that's right. You only do that when it comes to Indiana. You don't flush any toilet bowls when it comes to Purdue bowl games.
No, I don't. I do not. So I'll tell you what. I think it's time for us to take a break. And when we come back, we will be talking to Chris Goodman from Evansville, talking about Evansville football and the SIAC.
Yes, we'll be back, and we'll talk about the SIAC Football Conference. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion, and Jasper. We've all heard the commercial, 15 minutes could save you 15. Folks, let me tell you, it won't take 15 minutes for us to save you money. Give Ubelar's a call at 1-800-937-USA1 or visit us online at ubelar.com. We'll tell you the facts, treat you right, no bait and switch, and best of all, we will save you money. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion, and Jasper, where customers send their friends for a lifetime of savings in 15 minutes or less since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
The drivers out there, if you smell a delicious crispy smell after the race, it's not your tailpipe, it's a little bit of shake
and then bake.
Shake and bake! That's our nickname!
Get used to hearing it!
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
We're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and in just a minute, we're going to bring up Chris Goodman to talk a little bit about SIAC conference football in the Evansville area. But first, I got a text message from Brian, and Brian lives up around the Bedford area. Again, you can text me at 812-480-9449. But Brian says, lots of love to the Hoosiers, but misguided. And he's in the Bedford area, and he's calling my love for the Hoosiers misguided because I picked them to go 8-4, maybe 7-5, but we'll see. We'll see. But right now we're going to bring on, it's always good. It's always good if you're talking football, basketball, whatever you're talking, it's always good to be talking to Chris Goodman. Chris Goodman, welcome to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, how are you guys doing? You know, I can't do much better than an intro like that.
Well, we're glad to have you back as we get into the second show of our second season, and you were with us through the first season. We certainly appreciate having you back on as we go get into the second season. And Chris, before we get into high school football in the Evansville area, Joe and I just did a segment where we made some preseason picks on IU and Purdue, and I got a lot of grief from Joe, and he's playing the laugh button and all that. But I love the Hoosiers. I think Coach Wilson's doing a great job. I know the defense still has to get better. But I'm picking them 8-4, 7-5 right now, and I'm doing that based on 8 home games. Am I misguided, Chris? Am I close? What do you think?
Honestly, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to know from you with the new coach and everything. I think anywhere around 500 or in that vicinity is a good year for them. I really do. When you're doing the building blocks and you got a new program, I think that would be tremendous. Same thing kind of with Purdue. I know they're continuing to build their program. I think there's no doubt they're both headed in the right direction. But yeah, I think 8-4, that might be a little bit of a push. They'd have to win most of those home games, but and the Big Ten's tough. I mean, it's very, very tough year in and year out. I mean, you know how good that conference has been. So, I think that might be a little bit of a stretch to give them 8 wins, but certainly I know a lot of Hoosier fans are going to be happy you're doing that.
Well, Chris, I'll tell you, we are using bigger building blocks. Purdue's using those little kitty alphabet blocks to put theirs together. So we'll just see. Let's get into Evansville football. And Chris, you've been around the area for a long time. You've done the games on TV. You've reported on them when you were part of the news sports crews at the television stations. We've got some good teams in this SIAC conference. Wrights has some preseason votes, but not maybe the Wrights that we've known in the past. Castle looks to be solid, but Modern Day, of course, always strong. A lot of these other teams, you know, maybe trying to find their way as this season gets started.
Yeah, and I think the story kind of is the fact that there's so many new coaches in the SIAC, and you got Brett Szabo over at North, Andy Hape at Wrights, and then Corey Bronson at Harrison. But the story also is that, you know, a lot of the quarterbacks are gone. Mitch Gillis is gone. He's graduated. You got a new quarterback at Castle, new quarterback at Wrights. You're going to have a new quarterback at Modern Day. So there's a lot of change, a lot of flux that, you know, we don't see every year. So this could be a very non-typical down year for the SIAC. But, you know, usually when you say that, players surface and eventually, you know, they just kind of fill those roles and fill those voids and end up being, you know, pretty good players in the SIAC because there's just a lot of competition for those spots. So I wouldn't doubt it if we had a good year, but on paper it certainly looks like some of the teams are down.
Let's talk a little bit about Harrison. They've got a new coach in Corey Brunson, and he's got a great lineage as far as football is concerned as a player and as a coach. He comes into Harrison, a team that I think is like 6-57 over the course of that number of games, something like that. Brian Lewis, of course, was in for a few years and now has moved on as an athletic director. They've got a new stadium, and it's just proof that new stadiums don't heal all your ills. What's a guy like Corey who has a great connection to Evansville football and winning football, what's a guy like Corey Brunson got to do when he gets in there, and what's he seen in that Harrison program?
Well, I think the biggest thing, and I think you could say this is true of all programs, is the feeder system. And I've heard some pretty good things that Harrison has some pretty good kids coming up the pipeline. And if that's the case, you put a guy with a lot of energy, he's young, he's coached at Wrights, he played at Wrights, he coached at Mount Vernon under Paul Meyer, he's seen several different systems. And when Wrights was doing well offensively, he got a lot of credit with what they were doing on the offensive end because he played quarterback in high school, and he was just a joy to cover and a tremendous athlete. And I'm thinking he expects that kind of thing from his players. And Harrison, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you're talking about a team that went 1-9 last year, and like you said, 6 wins over so many years. I can remember a time when Mitch Marsh was coaching them when every year they were 10-0, 9-1, or, you know, something to that level heading into the playoffs. It didn't always translate into sectionals, but every year they were good. So you know that the talent is there for Harrison. You know that eventually, if you get those kids that are playing baseball and basketball, which have been two prolific sports for them, if you get them to come out for football, which I think Corey Brunson will, then I think you're going to have some pretty good football teams. Maybe not this year, but over the course of the next couple of years.
Yeah, and then you jump over to the north end of town and you see North High School, and they've got a new coach. Again, he's got Evansville connection. He's been in Evansville on the coaching staffs at Harrison in the past, left Evansville, and now has come back. North has the new stadium. They're going into its second year. He replaces longtime head coach, Coach Wilson. I heard an interview with Coach, and he said that he'd lost some kids over the summer. And this is, as a former coach, this is how I look at it. If you've lost some kids over the summer, they're kids that maybe didn't want to pay the price, didn't want to buy into the new system, weren't willing to sacrifice or do what it takes to be successful. Doesn't make them bad kids, doesn't make them nothing negative, but they're not the kids you want on your team if you're going to be successful. So I can see already he's trying to build a different mindset, whether it's, you know, different from what it was or his mindset. He's got somebody taking notice of what he's doing.
Yeah, and I think that's the case with North. They haven't always had great numbers. I remember going out talking to Coach Wilson and just seeing the amount of kids that they had in comparison to some of the other kids in the other schools like a Central or like a Castle or like Wrights or Modern Day. You just went out. You didn't see the amount of kids, and I think it is going to be a struggle, but I think there's also some enthusiasm in North, like you said, with a new stadium that they haven't had in several years. So I think they've got something to kind of build around, and they got a new coach, new enthusiasm, just a different look. Not that Mike Wilson, I mean, obviously he was the dean of the coaches, and the SIAC did a wonderful job in 24 years with what he had, but here's a guy, Zabo, who coached 10 years at Bedford North Lawrence. They upset Castle in the sectional a couple of years ago, so I think he has the ability to really make some waves with that program. And I think as that school, as the enrollment continues to climb, and I think it will with the new location on, you know, Highway 41, north or south, whatever you call it, out there in the middle of almost a Fort Branch, it feels like, when you're driving out there. But I think he's got a chance to make some waves, and I really think that North could end up being one of the dominant football programs in the next couple of years.
And I'll just talk about another team that there's just a lot of question marks for, and briefly touch on them. Bossy, it's just a program that is like Harrison, just trying to find its way to consistency. They'll have some a couple of skill players, but they won't have the linemen, the gut, blood and guts people to go with it, or they'll have some blood and guts people and won't have a skill player. They've always got some good athletes coming up, but they never seem to stay in the system. And I don't think that's a coach's problem as much as it's just a cultural problem of football in general at Bossy. It's been a long time since Bossy's been able to put a good year or a couple of good years together. And I'm not saying they haven't had seasons where, you know, they won the sectional a few years back, but it's just tough putting consistent seasons together.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you're in Class 3A like you're Bossy and you're playing a SIAC schedule where you end up playing teams like Castle, Central, Wrights, and even Modern Day that's, a class down but still very, very good, you could have a pretty good team year in and year out and still finish under 500. I remember those teams with LeVron Williams. I can't remember, but it seemed like they were 3-7 going into the playoffs, and then they'd win three or four games in a row once they got to 3A because it was kind of a step down from the SIAC competition. Sometimes, not always, but and that's kind of been the case for Memorial too, you know, and kind of how they've carved their path to the state finals. But yeah, Andre Thomas has a tough row to hoe, I think, every year at Bossy, because it's traditionally basketball first, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I just think that most kids over there probably want to play basketball because that's kind of where the tradition lies. And football has not been the focal point, and some of the basketball players probably don't want to get injured heading into basketball season, which is the case at a lot of schools. But, you know, it's a tough job at Bossy, and it's kind of been that way for years.
Yeah, coming off a season with no wins and 3-17 in the last two, they got their work ahead of them. Let's jump over across 164 and talk a little bit about Castle, probably the team that a lot of people feel like is going to be the class of the SIAC. Castle has to fill a couple positions, but overall it looks like they've got a pretty solid group coming back. Number three in one of the polls for sure, and number three in both polls. So a good feeling about this Castle group coming back.
Yeah, Doug Hurt's just done an amazing job, and it really says something about a Castle team when you lose a guy the caliber of quarterback Mitch Gillis. He's a 3,000-yard passer, threw for 43 touchdowns, and you're still ranked up high. It really says a lot about what he is, the kind of recognition he's achieved across the state of Indiana, because if you do that and you lose players like that, And then you still come back the next year and you're still ranked. You know you're reloading and you're doing the right things. And I think Castle has the ability defensively to be one of the top teams in the state. Offensively, they're going to probably start a sophomore quarterback. That remains to be seen, but I think that system is one where Gillis is just kind of churning kids in and out now, kind of like Gable did in modern day with quarterbacks. And I think that once you do that and you establish that system with, you know, starting with your feeder system, I think, you know, kind of the sky's the limit.
Yeah, and then you've got Central, and I'll just lump Memorial in there, two teams that have some holes to fill. Central, solid year last year with Coach Owen and Coach Hurley. We know he's had some really good years, but Memorial, Central, both trying to fill some holes. Memorial looks like, Chris, they're going to be a little small again this year, inexperienced, replacing a quarterback. The Tigers trying to find their way out of a couple of years where 500 or less. Where do the Tigers go in this?
You know, I think it starts, they've got a pretty darn good running back coming back from last season. And I think when you have that and you do have a small line, obviously you're going to have to, you know, try to protect your quarterback and get some holes open. But I think they have, you know, a lot of talent. I think Memorial could be a pretty good team, maybe not in the first couple of games. They got a very, very tough game at Jasper. I mean, anytime you start off with that, I mean, whoever drew that up on the schedule probably wasn't thinking, because that's a tough game to start your year every single year if you're playing at Jasper, having them come, because Jasper is usually already about to the midpoint of the season, it seems like, in game number one. And I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just the great coaching or whatever, but it just seems like they are so prepared in game one that it's just unbelievable. But I think Memorial has the opportunity to be pretty good, and I think they may struggle early on, but I think come playoff time, I think John Hurley will have them ready. I just think he does that year in and year out, and somehow, and maybe it's part of that tough schedule. You know, they play Jasper, they play Modern Day, they play Wrights, and then when you're playing teams like that, you finish off with Castle at the end of the season. I mean, once you play that schedule, then you go down to 3A, then it's certainly a little bit easier for them, you know, getting to 3A.
And then Central, real quickly, they've got a strong running back, as there are several strong running backs in the SIAC Conference overall this year. Defensively, though, an offense that shouldn't be too bad, but a defense that's got to find its way early. I believe they've only got one returning starter on the defense, but I think Coach Owens, his experience combined with his enthusiasm, should bring a Central team around by tournament time.
Yeah, and they kind of had the same issue. They could have a good team and still, you know, kind of be around a 500 team, and that's been the case the last couple of years. They've had some darn good football teams, but they've just ended up at 6-4 or maybe 7-5 or near the 500 mark just because the schedule is so tough. I mean, we were at that Modern Day game last year, and they really played them pretty well, and then, you know, you go – different years, and you just never know what's going to happen. So hopefully Central, and I know Coach Owen really does a good job year in and year out getting the most out of his kids. They've got a great assistant coaching staff as well as some of the other SIC programs do. So I think that they can really, if they start off well, I think that's kind of the key for them. I don't think they want to get in a hole early and kind of get down about their season. I think if they start off well and play at North Oldham, maybe get a win there, then at Paoli, if they end up being 2-0 in the season heading into the Bossy game, you're looking at a team that could certainly be 3-0 heading into the Wrights contest.
And then we go to the west side of Evansville, the tale of two teams of great tradition, yet a little different this year in that Wrights will go with a first-year coach, and Modern Day, of course, the consistent program under Coach Gable.
Yeah, I think both of these teams are going to have good years. Wrights has got a tough game tonight against Henderson County and their former coach, Tony Lewis. So we'll have to see what happens there and what the reaction is for the Wrights fans when Tony Lewis brings his colonels on the field. But I think the Panthers, they have a new quarterback. Austin Reagan's probably going to be their quarterback starter. And you just look at the Panthers, and they kind of reload year in and year out, regardless of who the coach is, not taking anything away from what Tony Lewis did or John Hart did or anybody, you know, Coach Gaddis before that. I mean, those guys, the football is in the hearts of Rice fans, and it's always going to be part of the tradition. So I think having a guy that is a former alum, Andy Hape, who was an All-American at Western Kentucky, really good guy, great player at Rice in his own right, I think having him is going to be huge for this school, and I think it's going to get a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of younger players out. As for modern day, Mike Gable, 159-49 in 17 years. They beat Heritage Hills to start the season last year 34-7, so I'm sure the Patriots are going to want to do something about that. And, you know, the Patriots kind of had a down year last year. I don't anticipate that they would have back-to-back down years. I just don't see that happening very often with that program. So I am looking for a barn burner of a game tonight, and that could certainly dictate kind of where modern day will kind of fit into the picture and kind of where Heritage Hills will, I think, because modern day's got a new quarterback, senior Chase Haynes, probably going to be the quarterback. They got a couple other sophomores that could be in the mix. So anytime you have a new quarterback, you never know. But Mike Gable has done it before where he's replaced a quarterback and just they haven't missed any slack at all.
Well, a lot to watch and a lot to think about as we go into this new football season, especially in the Pocket City, the Evansville area. Chris, what about you? What do we got going right now? You going to be doing football for us this year again?
Correct, yeah. On Local 7, we're doing the games, but unfortunately this year we're going to tape delay them. It's going to air Saturday at 3 on Channel 7. We're doing the Henderson-Rice game tonight from the Rice Bowl. But because Channel 7, and this is kind of getting probably a little more too technical than I should, but since they're now a CW affiliate, they no longer allow you to preempt them that often. And I think they do have an NFL game on tonight. But for the most part, we'll be doing tape delay this year, which, you know, kind of, you know, is sad for the high school football fans. But at the same time, it'll allow some of these parents and kids to get home and watch the game on Saturday afternoons and tape it and make sure, you know, that they actually see their kids on TV. So that's the good part. But I think the majority of the games are going to be on tape delay Saturday at 3 on Channel 7. But starting with Henderson and Rice tonight.
Well, it's always great to have you, and for the football fan, he gets to go to a game live and then come back and get to see a game that he didn't get to see on tape, and that's good all the way around. Chris, thanks once again for being with us. We love your insight and just how well you do it.
Hey, you're welcome. At any time, just you guys give me a call. I'd love to be on the show. I think I'll have a little more knowledge next week. It's always fun this time of year because you just don't know, you know, which kids are going to surface. And I think that's one of the neatest things as you go. And as a broadcaster and a former guy who taped games, it's kind of cool to see some of these kids surface and get to know some of the new faces and players, you know, that are going to be the dominant forces in the area.
It absolutely is, and we all look pretty smart now. We'll see how we look a week from now. Great having you. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to be talking indie football and some NCAA stuff with Bill Somm. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Tomorrow, after the game, I, Jackie Moon, will wrestle a bear.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773 897 6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. This is the Coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis, and I am excited to bring in our next guest, a contributor. We love having him because he's so knowledgeable, and I'm not just patronizing him or anything like that. He really is. He understands the game. He really understands what's going on around the Indianapolis area when it comes to the football scene. Billy Somm, good to have you back.
Hi, Coach. How are you? Congratulations on a new year for your show and you and Joe, and I'm proud of both of you. You guys do a great job.
Well, we couldn't do the great job without great people like you, and we might as well get right at it, Bill. We got a couple things to cover with you. Let's start Indianapolis High School football. Tell us about some of the teams that fell to the IHSAA or arose to the IHSAA success rule that had to move up in
That's
class.
That's right, Coach. That's right. It's a new year in high school football all across the state, and the new rule with the success factor has impacted five high schools across the state, and ironically enough, they're all the private schools. Indianapolis Cathedral has moved to 5A. Bishop Chatard Catholic School here in Indy has moved to 4A. Bishop Lurz is going to be in 3A. Lafayette Central Catholic is going to be in 2A. And Indianapolis Cecina will be in 2A. Those other schools, the first four, they won multiple state championships, and that's why they moved up. Indianapolis Cecina made it to the semifinals 2 years in a row, and that's why they've moved up. And what the success factor is going to be for 2 years. The state's going to step back and reevaluate it at that point. But the Commissioner Cox was just quoted yesterday as saying that it very well may take 4 or 5 or 6 years to figure out if this success factor works or not.
Well, there's nothing like penalizing teams for being successful, especially kids who are coming up and aren't even there anymore. And I certainly would not debate, but I certainly would love to have a discussion with Commissioner Bobby Cox, and maybe at some point we can get that done. Bill, when you look at this, the five teams that have fallen into this, which school do you think, or which program do you think will impact the most?
Well, I mean, it actually, Coach, it kind of falls both ways. By moving up, I think that a team like Zionsville now has a real opportunity because, you know, in this whole success factor, they created a sixth class. So, you know, all the big-time Indy schools are now in the 6A, which was formerly the 5A. And a team like Zionsville, which is a very good, very well-coached team, just really couldn't get it done. Well, now they might have a new road there to travel being in the new 5A. On the opposite side, the teams that moved up, we'll have to wait and see, but I think we're going to see Cathedral compete again down the run towards Thanksgiving. Chatard's a very good football team, and they're going to compete in 4A. But then, once again, Roncalli thinks that they have a new lease on life because Cathedral left 4A. Roncalli stays in 4A. They're going to have their hands full with Chatard, but so there's some new leases on life on both sides of this success factor.
Yeah, you make a great point there, Bill, about who benefits on the other side, but also, you know, we've got six classes now. For at least the last 5-6 years, I've heard it from a lot of coaches. Hey, we can't compete. We can't win a championship because we can't get past these schools that have 1,000 more students and yet they're in the same class. Well, that has changed now. And like you said, a team like Zionsville or a team like Castle maybe has a chance or to push through a little bit easier. You've got your 6A group, which is Lawrence Central and Carmel and Ben Davis and Center Grove and Warren, teams like that. So it definitely does change the landscape of football in Indianapolis, but also throughout the state as far as teams maybe being able to take one more step up the ladder.
Yeah, I think as the season progresses and, every football team goes on a roller coaster, not only with injuries and wins and losses, but emotionally, I think you have a whole new set of teams that are going to be in week 7, 8, and 9 really hanging on and staying focused, and you're going to see better football in Week 7, 8, and 9 as they prepare for the playoffs, because they now believe that they have an opportunity to go a little bit further than they ever have in the past. So I think the quality of football actually will has the possibility of increasing.
Yeah, and as you look at this, you know, we're early in the season. Obviously, Football Friday begins tonight around the state of Indiana, and everybody's excited for that. And you personally have a son that's playing for Cathedral. But can you look at maybe for this week the top three or four teams in your mind right now in the Indianapolis area?
Sure. You know, it's always fun. What we need to do is go back in about 3 or 4 weeks, talk about, okay, how were we right or not? Because all we've done is seen these teams in 7-on-7s this summer, and we've seen them in a couple scrimmages. But I think, obviously, Lawrence Central, golly, they're ranked number one in 6A. I think they're number 20 in the nation. Little side story on Lawrence Central that'll be interesting to watch is they have a brand new starting quarterback, a junior, Brian Haas, who actually was at Cathedral last year, and he was moved to wide receiver, and really his mission in life he thought was to be a quarterback, and he's going to start tonight at Lawrence Central and lead that team against Lawrence North. So Lawrence Central is a big-time team. Pike's a big-time team. You know, they have the great Dominique Booth, the wide receiver, and they have a really good quarterback. Carmel, obviously, is well-coached, and they're going to be there at the end of the day. Center Grove is a powerhouse this year. Cathedral, I think their offense should be pretty fun to watch. They're very young defensively. They have a great defensive coordinator in Adam Barth. He'll have things figured out by Thanksgiving, but Ben Davis is very good, so that'll be an interesting game tonight. But I think those teams, Ben Davis, Center Grove, Carmel, Lawrence Central, Pike, you know, Lawrence Central has a new coach. They have LC's coach, Jason, who moved over there. So it's, you know, we won't know till week 3 or 4 how this is all going to work out. But I think at this moment, the traditional teams, I think, are kind of sitting out there. Stard's pretty good. So we'll just have to we'll know by about 10 o'clock tonight where we all stand.
And I think for our listeners, you know, Bill will be coming back throughout the season, and we'll try to focus in on key teams and classes as we go forward, because there's just so many good teams in the Indianapolis area, well coached, large squads, good players. And speaking of good players, Bill, as you look at the talent level in the Indianapolis area, who are some of the key people you're looking at? Are you looking forward to watching and seeing how they perform as the season goes?
Well, I'd really break it's a great question, and I think I'd break it out into two pieces. First of all, the message I would send to you and your listeners is this is the year of the wide receiver in Indianapolis. My goodness, sir, you know, there's a kid at Speedway, Justin Brand, who's committed to Notre Dame. You got Dominique Booth, who everyone has heard of, the Pike, who is going to Tennessee. There's a wide receiver, Kenny Jones, at LC, who's being recruited by most of the Big Ten in Louisville. Devin Reese at Westfield is a Ball State kid. There's an Indiana recruit, Deshaun Harris at Fishers. And then I'll tell you, I really encourage your listeners to go on Huddle or YouTube or wherever they find highlights. There's a kid at Cathedral High School, Terry McLaren, who is just Dagburn special. He's committed to Ohio State. I think if I have my stats right, I think he's the third fastest wide receiver in the nation. He finished first or second out of 15,000 kids in a competition with Nike this summer. So it's the year of the wide receiver. The other piece of that, though, there are some other great players. Buff has a young junior, Levante Bellamy, a running back who was just offered by Cincinnati, so he's going to be fun to watch. It's always fun to watch people with names. Jeff George is going to be the starting quarterback at Warren Central, so let's see how he does. There's a great running back at Tech, James Gilbert, and many BCS schools are all over him. He's just going to be a junior. Temple and Toledo have already offered him. LC, Lawrence Central, has a great linebacker in Brandon Lee. Hamilton Southeastern has a 6'5", 265-pound offensive lineman. He was committed to Central Michigan. And there's a kid named Brandon Keesom at Park Tudor, who's 6'5", 280. and has interest from Michigan State, Indiana, and Louisville. So there's just there are some really great players in this area. And, you know, I grew up in Ohio, Coach. And, of course, you know, we think in Ohio and Texas and Florida it's the football states. But I got to tell you, you know, the majority of Division I coaches in the United States of America have been coming through the Indianapolis area. So it's been good for all our kids.
Well, I go back to what I said last year several times and what I believed for 4 or 5 years now. The influence of the Indianapolis Colts has changed football in Indiana as far as kids growing up, wanting to be football players, focusing on that sport. There's a lot of great athletes throughout the state, and especially in a very large population like the Indianapolis area. You've got a lot of professional sports players who have now been through Indianapolis, made it their home. Their kids are coming up, former college greats that are back home. They're coming up with their kids. Football in the state of Indiana is on the rise, and not just on the rise, but it's already gotten to a level, like you said, where the Division I coaches are paying attention to this state, and they're putting out key players for their teams.
That's right. That's right. And it's great for the communities. It's great for the kids. I think the thing that I've learned from you is that from a basketball standpoint, the coaches are great technicians, but I would suggest to you that Indiana high school football coaches have become great technicians also. They've really become engaged in trying to get better, and they take the sport very seriously, not just from an X and an O standpoint, but developing young people. And I think what you're really seeing is the fruits of the coaches' labor. I think you're seeing kids that are working hard, and I just really believe you have a resurgence of football, not only in this Indianapolis area, but the state of Indiana. And, you know, Kofi Hughes is at IU. I mean, we can go on and on with great players across the nation. So it's exciting. There's tons of players. And, you know, I think one other thing we should never forget is there's a whole bunch of players out there that aren't college kids, you know, potential, but they're really darn good high school football players. And we're going to see those kids participate tonight. And, you know, it's Friday Night Lights, and it's an exciting time. So all is good in the world because it's time to play high school football.
Yeah, and for the football fan or just the listener who wonders about athletics being more important than the educational part, no, it's a part of the educational process. And usually if you've got a good athlete – and they're being coached, and you talked about the technical points, the technician coach, then those young men, they have to learn that technique, whether it be physical or mental, and that should be able to carry not over to the classroom, but from the classroom over to the football field or the basketball court or the tennis court or the baseball field.
Oh, that's right. And listen, as excited as I am about football, there's nothing more important than the academic piece. And you know, again, just talking about the college kids, the NCAA has really upped their whole academic standards. So these kids, if you see a kid playing high school football who's going to a Division I school, there are no games being played academically anymore. Those kids are in the high teens, low 20s at worst on ACT. They're getting a 2.5 and better. Those young men are getting it done in the classroom just because they have to. So football and sports is merely an addition to the high school experience, but for some of us, it's a real important part of it.
Yeah, and before we go to break, and Bill, you will be back because we want to talk a little bit about the NCAA, but before we go to break and bring you back in the next segment, I did want to mention you have a young man in your household, Zach, who's an outstanding football player, and it's leading him to an opportunity on the college level as he goes through this senior season.
Well, that's kind of you, Ken. Yeah, Zach is a 6'3", 215-pound tight end, and he's been well-coached at Cathedral by Rick Strife, the head coach, and the former offensive coordinator, Mick Ressler, who's now the head coach at Rebuff. And Zach's worked real hard, and all his teammates have really helped him, and he was recruited and made his decision this past spring, and he's committed to Ball State, and you know, have a lot of respect for Joey Lynch up there and Pete Lembo, and we want them to win a whole lot of football games, but we don't want the coach to leave. But Zach's excited about the season. I drove him to school this morning, and they get to open up in Lucas Oil. And I said, "Are you ready for this?" And he said, "Dad, it's Friday Night Lights time." So it's time to get it on.
Yeah, it's a great time for parents and their kids as they participate. It's also a tough time because it's nerve-wracking as well. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to come back with Bill Salmon. He's going to put his former NCAA hat on as a compliance and eligibility director. We're going to talk a little bit about Johnny Manziel's situation, among other things. So stay tuned, stay with us, and let's talk a little bit about that with Bill Salmon. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Ubelar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles. Cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories. And they're all priced to sell. Some are certified and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
I gotta work on my game.
No, don't think of it as work. The whole point is just to enjoy yourself.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Thank you, Cody. We're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and you've got Coach K right here, and we've got Bill Salmon. And I'm going to ask Bill to put his NCAA hat on. Bill, we used to, for many years, was with the NCAA, and in the thick of things, a good, bad, and ugly all the way around that sometimes happen in college athletics as compliance eligibility director, among other things. And, Bill, I'm not going to try to pin you in a corner. I know that you're looking at it, your perspective is no longer in there, but I just wanted to kind of get a perspective from someone who's been with the NCAA and talk just briefly about the Johnny Manziel situation, and I know we're going to be talking about paying athletes as we go forward as far as giving them a stipend and things, but today, just a little bit about the Johnny Manziel. You've got an NCAA that had online sales of team gear, and then you have an athlete who is being accused of, we know that he signed 4,400 pieces of memorabilia from what is being reported. We are not sure yet, unless something's come out that I haven't seen yet, whether he was actually paid for it. One would have to believe that he got some kind of compensation either now or promised something in the future. And then we have the NCAA come out a week or so ago saying we're no longer going to sell online team gear. We're just going to do tournament stuff. Is there some contradiction? Is there some mea culpa going on? Is there some hey, we better take care of our own stuff before we come on to Johnny Manziel? I mean, what am I seeing in all this? What are your thoughts?
Well, Coach, it's a multi-pronged problem. The Johnny Manziel thing, I think the first thing would be a message to our young people. Social media, please get your arms around it, young people. I mean, that poor kid, his picture at every frat and sorority party on Bourbon Street, celebrating after a game, et cetera. You know, that kid just, he's everywhere. And I think everybody forgets he's 19, 20 years old. Now,
yeah.
When you start talking about the amateurism piece, there are people, well, everyone believes that the reason folks watch college athletics is because they can say the kid's not getting paid. But having said that, the money is so out of control now. I mean, we used to read it in the paper about TV contracts in the hundreds of thousands. You now read it in the billions. And for us common people like me and you and some of your listeners, when you start getting money in the bees, then why can't these kids get some? So it's just a terrible quandary. I don't think you'll ever see a paycheck given to a kid, but I think what you're going to start seeing is maybe mom and dad get to go to the unsafe tournament. Maybe mom and dad can go to the bowl game. Maybe mom and dad can get to home games. Maybe you're going to see, I know when I was there, I was trying to propose that the NCAA pays for the disability insurance for the big-time athletes. Because right now the kid even has to pay his own disability insurance, which is, it could be anywhere between $1,000 and $5,000 a year. So I think you're going to see some flexibility in that. If you're going to think way out there, I honestly would say 50-50, which coming from where I used to be is a scary number. I think it's 50-50 that you're going to see the big-timers do their own thing. I think that you're going to see the Big Ten, the SEC, the Pac-10 or 12 or whatever it is. I think you're going to see those guys do their own thing. I think they're going to initially try to do it underneath the NCAA, but they're not afraid to go out on their own. It's too bad they're going to do that or they're thinking about that, because that does leave the MAC and some of those smaller conferences kind of out of it, and they get labeled as a smaller school. But there's just, you know, and you have the O'Bannon suit, which for your listeners that are not aware of, it's a former basketball player at UCLA, and he's suing the NCAA because they used his likeness at various times. And there's a major decision coming to determine if it's a class action lawsuit. And if the judge decides it's a class action lawsuit, then basically financially the NCAA is probably done, because then they would owe all these student athletes just millions and millions and millions of dollars. So it's an amateurism issue, and, you know, we've seen the Olympics redefine amateurism, and I think the NCAA has got to broaden what they do for kids in a specific manner. They have this fund that they hold out there as an emergency fund for kids, which in its day I think was very good, but I think that they need to be able to stand up in front of people and say, listen, the top 75 football players, we just pay their disability insurance policy. The top 50 basketball players, we just pay their disability insurance. You know, we will supplement all parents to a bowl game. I really think they have to come up with specific items, so when you're talking on radio or Joe's talking at the local tavern about this, they can say specifically what these kids are getting. And because in conclusion, I'll tell you, and I learned this through the recruiting process, holy mackerel. And I know what I used to say. I used to say, hey, they get a free education, you know. Football, even in the Mid-American Conference, is 24/7, 365. I learned that this winter on recruiting trips. So it's a terrible quandary. There's just tons and tons and tons of money. And then the Johnny Manziel thing is just, it's confusing because he's young, everything's on social media. You and I think, you know, it's easy for us to say he got paid. He has the right to have to prove it. It's a lose-lose for everybody.
And that's where I come back to the NCAA, you know, do as I say, not as I do, you know, pulling the online sales of team gear, those types of things. I'd like to see them just accept that they're going to get whacked by Ohio State people and different people say you didn't do enough to him. Give the kid probation, get it over with, get him off the front page, start doing the things you need to do to clean up in-house. You know, Bill, you hit it. I mean, this isn't your old college days. This is billions of dollars, 24/7, great. The strongest tree in the forest, as they've always said, is not the one that holds straight and tall all the time. It's the one that bends a little bit, moves right and left, stays where it's at foundationally, but moves where it needs to move to survive. The NCAA has got to make some adjustments because the game, they allowed the games, the sports, to get so big and so profitable and so large. I heard the IU president say they were doing some new buildings on campus, and they were happy to say that some of the funds came through what they've made in athletics. So let's get real about this and understand that the playing field has changed. We need to be proactive and not be reactive.
That's right. I think you've addressed it correctly. But I just really believe that we have to do specific items for enrolled student athletes. And maybe, to be quite honest, you do something more for the revenue sports than the other sports, but you got to help the tennis kid, you got to help the gymnastics kid, you got to help the wrestler. Maybe we pay our coaches less. Maybe we don't build buildings quite as big. You know, I'm not a great historian, but, you know, there's a reason Rome fell, you know. So I think we just got to step back and slow down a little bit, but we got to do specific things for these kids, because I can tell you that at home they're only 18 or 19 years old, and when they're on TV, everybody thinks they're these grown adults. And I don't know Johnny Manziel, but I bet he's a pretty good dude, and he just probably had a beer or two too many here and there, just like many of your listeners own kids. And he made some poor choices, but you know what? He's a kid in college to made out to make a kid better, you know, and learn from your mistakes. And I'm sure Johnny saw everybody else making money off of him, and why shouldn't he get a pizza and a Coke here or there? So it's got to be addressed. It's got to be addressed fast, or I think you're going to see the big boys do their own thing.
Yeah, and before we end up our segment, to our listeners, we'll talk more about this. Bill's got great experience with the NCAA in his time, and I know he keeps up on it. But one thing I do want to say is, these athletes have a window of opportunity. And whether it be injury, whether the team doesn't do what they thought it would do, whether their workout at the combine didn't go the way it was supposed to, they have a window of opportunity. And I always use the Scott Rowland example. Scott Rowland has a window of opportunity in his baseball career. He had a chance to go play basketball on the college level. You know, thank goodness he had a chance to go immediately into the pro ranks in baseball, and I always say $100+ million later. You know, Johnny Manziel has a window of opportunity. Maybe that window is only the college period for some of those guys, and if everybody else is making money off them, there's got to be a way to at least, whether it's you can make this money and we put it in a fund for you that you get after you're out of college, I don't know what it is, but why should everybody make money off his team gear? It is a quandary, Bill, and I appreciate you at least scratching the surface, and I know we'll be talking more about this as we go forward. Once again, great stuff, Bill. Thanks for being with us.
Take care. Have a good day.
All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking more sports, more opinions, more thoughts, more ideas. We're probably talking to Kurt Gooksell, and then we're ranting a little bit. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubilar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubilar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubilar & Sons Chevy, Cadillac, and Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Little buddy, hold up, man. I'm not talking to you. You keep going.
I want to tell you, man, I was sorry about having to practice today.
Don't be sorry.
Don't you understand, man? If you don't cool it out there, you're going to end up getting yourself killed.
If I cool it, I won't be helping you guys get ready for the next week's games. Got it?
I got it.
He's just a showboat, man. That's all he's about.
He's just doing his job, Jamie. Can't it?
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show, and we're joined by DC Broadcasting Sports Director Kurt Gupsell. Kurt, before we get to talking about Southridge and PAC football, I wanted to let people know I get to join Kurt Gupsell on Tuesday night on WBDC to do the first ever varsity sporting event at the brand new, beautiful Jasper High School gym. Kurt, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Joe. Looking forward to that. And I was just out there yesterday again. That place is amazing. I mean, there's some minor things that they want to tweak. But, I mean, compared to what they had, nobody wanted to see what happened to the old place. But you talk about a serious upgrade for a basketball and volleyball environment. That's certainly it. That's great. It's going to be great.
I invite people to come on out. There's some surprises that night as far as volleyball team is concerned. And also, a little plug here for the football, or not football boosters, it's football Friday night, so I'm singing football. For the volleyball boosters, the first 100 people to the game are going to get a commemorative T-shirt commemorating the first ever varsity sporting event at the new gym. Kurt, tonight you've got your 2013 broadcasting campaign for high school sports, and you've got Southridge games that you do, and they've got a new coach, and, you know, can you just tell us a little bit about him and where he's come from and what your impression of him so far?
Well, Scott Buting takes over the Raider program. He has come from Jennings County, where he put some life into that program. And think of some of the worst high school football teams and programs around here, and there are a lot of them that don't try, but they continue to field teams. He took over one of those at Jennings County, and he got them and breathed some life into them. And Southridge went on their coaching search, and he came in and, you know, had a plan that the plan, maybe not an overhauling plan, because you didn't need to do that after Kelly Murphy did his wonderful work there at Southridge. But and Southridge did it when they hired Murph, or when they went and hired Brad Hanner, then Kelly Murphy. Basically, they hit the jackpot on those hires, and I wish more teams or more schools could hit the jackpot like that when they go out and hire people. It seems like he's another perfect fit. He gets it. He gets the culture, and nobody takes football more seriously than Southridge, and he's done great things so far, and I think they're going to be just outstanding with him at the helm and having the rest of those guys on hand that's coached with those other two guys there, no turnover in staff. It's going to be a lot of fun watching that team and that program still.
Hey, Kurt.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Joe. I wanted to ask Kurt a quick question. You've seen Hanner. You've seen Murphy. Do you see anything specifically different in approach or ideology with Buning?
Well, I think they're going to stick with the same game plan or same system, just because it wasn't really broken. Sometimes a coach will have to come in and, like Scott said, do a complete overhaul. But the system that they run on both sides of the ball is in place because both coordinators, Brad Ohanian and Steve Winkler, have a system in place. Not to say that they don't tweak things a little bit, But they've got a system in place, and I think that's going to be a key to just keep things kind of simple and keep things continuity-wise the same as we begin. Not to say that they won't do some more things, but it's along the lines of what those two other guys put in place. But, you know, Scott's got a lot of good ideas, and they've really taken to those ideas, the players. He's very organized, a lot of things on paper, a lot of organizational things meeting-wise that they've just built on and Murph had, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
You know, Kirk, you did talk about the no turnover, and, you know, that's important. I had spent some time coaching at Southridge, and I coached with a lot of those people that are on the staff and think an awful lot of them. And, you know, Steve Winkler, you know, anybody that takes over that program realizes that with a Coach Winkler at the helm of that defense, that defense is always going to be a stout defense. And, you know, can you tell us a little bit about that side of the ball this year?
Well, Coach Winkler, he's done a great job with that defense. And you mentioned those coaches. I've never been around a staff in all the sports that I've covered that they truly love the program like those guys do. I mean, a lot of staffs, you know, you've got some guys maybe don't completely buy in or you're not doing things for the right reasons coaching-wise. You know, they've got some motives. But those guys – I just love the program, and that's what's great about them. They basically went through three different coaches through, you know, 20-some years of football, and they've all stayed just because the way they love the program, the way they have pride in their community and the pride in their school. But anyway, going back to Coach Winkler's defense, they've got some heavy hitters. They've got some big kids along the line of scrimmage. Their linebacking core with Brett Nordhoff and Aiden Mitchell, top-notch. They've got a good secondary. And I think they're going to be really good at stopping the run. It's going to be a key when some teams decide to open it up a little bit. Can they get after the quarterback? Can they cover? And all indications are that they can because they've got some athletes, as I mentioned, on that side of the football. So they're very stingy. They have been throughout the years, and I expect nothing different with this team right here.
Well, you know, Kurt, you're talking about a stout defense. It looks like, what, 10 of 11 starters back on that side of the ball?
Yeah, they've got a lot of guys returning. They've had some good players that graduate last year and some guys that started games that have graduated, but they've got a lot of experience on the defensive side of the ball and a lot of athleticism, so it looks good there.
So he comes in, coach takes over a pretty solid base on the defensive side and the offensive side, and now we look at their schedule, their game tonight against Clarksville. What do we know about Clarksville? Is this a team that will challenge the Raiders both up front and in those skill positions?
Well, in the two previous meetings, it's been no match. They've went to Clarksville in their first game and pounded them. They pounded them last year at Raider Field, and I don't see anything changing tonight. Clarksville, they've got a few good athletes, but in this series, this will be the last game because Southridge is going with Corden, which is a severe upgrade in both the organization and football. That'll be next year. But, I think Southridge will be able to have their way with Clarksville.
And I think that, you know, for Coach Buning to start out with a team that really, if the Raiders come and do what they're supposed to do, can get a victory, can get a look at things and see where they're at, that bodes well for the big game coming up following that, which will be against Jasper.
Oh, there's no doubt. And Southridge has had, you know, their schedule, that opening game has been kind of it's kind of been weird because they started all those years with Jasper, and that was always a tough opener, a lot tougher for Southridge than it has been for Jasper. And they went to Paoli, you know, back then Paoli wasn't any good, and they pounded on them. They went with Evansville Central. I thought it was a great opener because those games they played with the Bears were very close. It's obviously a larger school, but you know, they felt it when they got done with that Central ball game, but heading into the Jasper game. So they wanted to get away from that. But now they found Clarksville for the last few years. And, again, it's not been a good match. So yeah, they're still tweaking that, and they'll play Corden next year, which will be a lot better, I think. But it might be a nice way to go into that Jasper game, get some confidence, get some things rolling, and see what you got.
And the PAC conference is always a tough conference. You've got some teams that struggle year in and year out, but you've always got some solid teams. And if you could just take a couple minutes, Kurt, let's take a look at the pack and tell us a little bit about the teams maybe to look for and maybe some teams that could surprise.
Well, it's a really good conference because a lot of the teams in the 1A ranks, 2A ranks that they play in have gone deep into the playoffs. I mean, when you start with Pocket Athletic Conference football, though it wasn't the case last year, but Heritage Hills, they've dominated the conference, and they've got some guys back. Wilkerson will be their quarterback. He's battled an injury. They've got Gabe Connerding back and running back and a good nucleus of defenders back, and it's Coach Wilkerson's second year. I mean, just think of the things that he had to go through taking over for Coach Clayton, who was the best around. And he got settled in a little bit. I think they'll be a lot better, you know, have their feet under him a little bit. North Posey, always good. They lose a ton of players. They were really good last year. Of course, Coach Joe retired. Coach Rink, which is the new coach there. They've been one of the top teams in the league. You look at another team in South Spencer. They got another coach in Tom Packer, although he's been there for a long time. They've been traditionally a good team in that conference. Tell City, they played a lot of young guys, and Coach George, Ryan George, has come back there. This is his third year, I believe, and he's got some veterans. He started a lot of guys that were freshmen, and Coach George said it was good to see cars in the parking lot instead of scooters. And when Tell City started to practice this year, so he's trying to get Tell City back, and it's always good when the marksmen are good. Those are the top teams in that league, and of course, you have Southridge is looking for a conference title right now as well. So just a little thumbnail on some of those until they play on the field and stuff to get into the personnel that we can, you know, look at later on down the line.
Yeah, and if you get a North Posey, a Heritage Hills, and you get a Tell City program back, and South Spencer returns where they're normally at with Southridge, you've got a heck of a conference there. You've got a conference that beats up on each other and prepares them for tourney time.
There's no doubt, and you know, you get this, all this talk about like what Jasper should do because of their football conference being so bad or not games. I always propose if you're going to make a football only deal, don't run to the SIAC or don't run to the, you know, the Hoosier Hills or conference or whatever. If you took the top four teams in the Big Eight, took the top four teams in the PAC that really are serious about playing football, that really are serious about hiring assistant coaches and building their program, that would be a great league. Those four teams in each league that we touched on, that would be awesome. But you're right. That league, it's better than any other 2A, 1A league in the state, I think.
Now, Kurt, I know along with your sports director duties, you also do some coaching shows. And, could you let our listeners know when they can tune into those and what teams you do a coaching show with?
Well, on Thursday nights, we talk Southridge football with Scott Buning. That debuted last night. We look at the game with Clarksville in the preseason. This afternoon at 3:45 Fridays, we talk Jasper football with Tony Aarons, Cat Chat, and that's been a very popular show, looking into the Jasper program with Coach T, and we get things going tonight with our broadcast at 7:10, Clarksville and Southridge. So, we got a lot of football to talk about. Also on our 7:30 sports, we get into the local teams as well with Coach Ross Foose, the Forest Park head coach, and they're looking to bounce back from a tough season last year in transition, but they got some guys back, and Ross is a good coach, and they'll get back to being respectable like they have been since they started football there.
And Kurt, Joe mentioned at the start of the segment that next Tuesday, you'd be broadcasting the first live sporting event from the new JHS Arena, a volleyball match with Jasper and Heritage Hills. And I might want to mention Joe's wife, Liz, our friend, is coaching the Jasper Wildcats. They hit a bump in the road, started their season last night against Princeton, hit a bump in the road, but I know she'll have them ready to go. And you guys might have to bring a third headset. I might show up to help out with the broadcast.
the more people we get for that would be great, because that's going to be fun, because you got volleyball between two bordering, you know, schools, Heritage Hills under Coach Gunselman. They've always been a solid program, and Jasper will be too, and the kids will get into it, and it'll be the new gym, and, you know, just a fun night, and I hope people come out and also listen and watch later on WJTS-TV, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you got a bump, you got a set, you got a spike, you got to run those misdirections. I've seen it, I've done it, but it should be fun, and we wish Coach O'Brien, or Coach Milligan, I should say, good luck on that. Joe, we got about 6 seconds before we end this show for the week. Take us home, buddy.
Okay, well, yes, we do invite you guys to tune in to WBDC both tonight for the Southridge game and also on Thursday for the volleyball game. But also, you know, yeah, Duke, I really think a third headset might go. You know, of course, we might only need one headset if Kenny's involved.
You know, well, that's true, and we'll talk about this radio wise, because I don't think it'd be good for him to be on TV. I think he can handle the radio part of it, but the TV, I think we'll let your pretty face dominate that.
Yeah, so I'll tell you what, great show once again, and, you know, thanks for coming on, Kurt, and Coach K, nice job, thank God we don't pay you by the word, you know, it's been another great week, and, you know, we invite everybody to come back and listen to us next week, starting at 10, hopefully we have some news to break next week, and, you know, just stay tuned. That news, as soon as that news becomes available that we're able to make it public, we will. So for Coach K and for Kurt, I'm Joe Milligan saying see you till next week.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelor & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.